I will not eat green eggs and ham. And Dr. Seuss probably had his reasons. The Apostle Paul often said, I won't eat certain foods either. And these were good kinds of food, food he liked. But in order to be the right kind of influence, he didn't eat green eggs and ham either. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth Richards. Lonnie and I want to thank each of you for joining us here on this beautiful Friday as we finish up our radio series entitled Boycotting the People's Court. All week long, we've also been sending our listeners copies of a wonderfully insightful book entitled Disappointment with God by best-selling author Philip Yancey. If you're able to assist with a contribution of just $10 or more, we'd love to mail a copy to your home immediately. Here's our toll-free request line, 1-800-872-0055. That's 1-800-872-0055. And the title of the book is Disappointment with God. Now let's join Lonnie for today's message, Staying Away from Old Yeller.
There are some real easy ways to get an argument started, and I know two of them for sure. Is it wrong for a Christian to buy one lottery ticket? I mean one, out of a lifetime of earnings and out of all that even one of God's faithful believers might spend for leisure and entertainment, would it be wrong to spend $1, an amount you might well earn in 3 minutes of work, on a Lotto 649 slip of paper? Question number two. Is it wrong for a Christian to go into a movie theater one time to see one Walt Disney film? Now, some of you politically minded listeners might know Disney films lately have a whole new reputation, and none of us, I hope, would think of leaving $7.50 at the turnstile. But that's the question. One Old Yeller type Disney film one time. The reason I ask these particular two questions this way is because we got in our office the other day a neat little booklet just 60 pages long from Moody Press. It's entitled Tony Evans Speaks Out on Gambling and the Lottery. Now, many of you regular listeners know that we really appreciate Dr. Tony Evans from Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, and in particular a book of his entitled The Victorious Christian Life. Now, in this lottery booklet, he makes an interesting point. Here it is. God has given you and me a testimony. So even when it comes to things that we clearly think are okay to do, we must ask if these things are going to hinder our ability to be a witness. Will they hinder anybody from taking us seriously as Christians? Now, how does that connect up with a Disney film? He goes on, and I'm quoting, "There are some places I go to minister where it would be illegitimate for me to go to a movie." And I'm talking about a Walt Disney movie. In that part of the country, Christians don't go to movies. It is an offense to the non-Christian to see a Christian go to the movies. Interestingly, Evans immediately takes the discussion back to the very Bible writer we've been studying all week, the Apostle Paul. What would Paul do in such dilemmas, he asks? Quote, "He wouldn't flaunt his freedom. He would avoid the theater because he had a bigger purpose in mind. He didn't want to do anything that hindered him from being a witness." Now, as we return to our study chapter for the week, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there's a verse that applies to this very kind of situation. For just a moment, let's review the background of this entire letter. Paul's writing to a brand new Christian church, a church struggling to survive in a modern, for that era, pleasure-seeking, nightclubbing city. People were into fun in Corinth. They were buying lotto tickets at every 7-Eleven and lining up around the block to see Independence Day and Mission Impossible. And this fledgling little Christian church had seasoned mature Christians and new, fragile, easily swept off their feet baby Christians who could lose their way at the tiniest provocation. And in verse 12, Paul makes an interesting statement about himself and his own spiritual condition. "Everything is permissible for me," he writes. Now, how do we take that? Everything? Clearly, Paul wasn't talking about everything. Obviously, the list of 10 grievous sins he'd just run through these 3 verses earlier, adultery, theft, greed, drunkenness, slander, These things weren't permissible for even the Apostle Paul. No, he was talking about things that are not wrong in themselves. In one Bible commentary, it sheds this light on the King James expression, all things. Notice, the Christian is at liberty to participate in everything that comes within the plan of life formed by God as that which is most beneficial for mankind. Now, the same insightful book goes right on and reiterates that God never contradicts himself. He never says in his word, sexual immorality is wrong, and then turn to Paul and whisper, but not for you. So the everything in everything is permissible has to fall within the generous parameters of this understanding. Now let me suggest, friend, that Paul had a crystal clear understanding of the gospel message. After all, he's the author of much of that very framework under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. Paul would know all about, quote, freedom in Christ and the concept of being set at liberty from the condemnation of the law. So it's very helpful to read exactly how he limits his own freedom. Here's the second half of that same Bible verse. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Now, what does he mean by that? He goes on to give us one example of what he means. In fact, he repeats the same line, everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Something that might be perfectly harmless in itself, he notes, could easily jump up, wrap itself around you 1,000 times, and friend, you'd be mastered by that supposedly good, permissible thing. Oh, speaking of the lottery, as we did a moment ago, just this week, as we record, the September 2 issue of Newsweek reports that 1 in 7 Louisiana young people, ages 18 to 21, are compulsive gamblers now, triple the rate of adults. Why is it happening? Sociologists think it's an easy jump from video games to video poker. All too easy a leap, says Louisiana Senator Jay Darden, who joins others in worrying about the problem. And we might reasonably observe that a video game is no big deal. Just a quarter spent, or maybe even not that much if you play on your own laptop computer. But that one permissible little treat might grow to become your master, even if you're a rock-solid Bible-reading Christian. I like how the clear word Bible paraphrase by Dr. Jack Blanco expresses Paul's determination at the end of that verse. I will not be mastered by anything except the love of Jesus Christ. But now to our even more important application, which weaves its way all through the New Testament writings of Paul. This zealous leader who knew he was an influence, who knew infant Christians were watching him, wouldn't even do some of the things he knew in his heart were all right for him, if it would cause someone else to stumble. That's the most noble interpretation of the expression, not everything is beneficial, not beneficial to the Christian church he loved so much. We find this principle enunciated more clearly in chapter 8 and again in chapter 10, so we'll save some of our ammunition for later when we get to that part. In fact, our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is tentatively titled, Your Necklace Offends Me, Take It Off. To what extent do we take off a necklace, or not see a Disney film, or even throw away that favorite necktie that some conservative little saint thinks has too much red in it? Somebody's always mad about something. Do we let the Puritan sisters run our lives? All these are questions we'll get into, but let me simply say this here today. Paul loved these people. Paul loved the church, the frail body of Christ. And linking back with the earlier passage where he counsels us not to sue each other, not insist on our rights, he opens up his own heart. I won't do it either, he tells us. I'll give up things that for me would be absolutely not a sin because of my fellow believer out of concern for him. I'll get by without the 1 minute buzz of buying a lottery ticket. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about neighbors, didn't he? And back in Matthew 22, he gives us the two great commandments. Remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we've spent a whole week, I admit, doing some pretty Spartan thinking. Sacrificing yourself for others, giving up your rights, no lotto tickets, no suing your neighbor even if you could beat him and he's wrong, etc., etc. And maybe you feel that this has been a rather gloomy week. But friend, as I read through all that Paul has to say, I don't find gloom. even when he was in prison for his faith, even when he was faced with the executioner's guillotine at Ostian Way there in 68 A.D., we don't find a life stripped of joy, of abundance. On the contrary, every single book, every letter he writes fairly glows with rich, intense happiness. He bubbles over with radiant joy. The Christian faith, even with 1 Corinthians chapter 6 thrown in, which Paul clearly turned around and applied to himself, was a bargain of blessedness. And to the admittedly shallow, incomplete extent that we here at the Voice of Prophecy have experienced that same kind of sacrificial joy, we can say along with Paul at the end of his letter, your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
That's right, Lonnie, and the whole Richards family feels exactly as Paul did there at the end of his life of service. What a blessing to sacrifice for Jesus. Friend, today's the last opportunity for you to ask us to mail you a copy of Philip Yancey's book, Disappointment with God. He addresses some of the hard questions of this week. Can we trust God? Will things turn out all right if we place our needs and even our desires for revenge in His hands? Now we're asking every listener to help us with a suggested donation, this time of at least $10, along with your request. Here's our address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Disappointment with God. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Now, here for a closing word is Lonnie Malashenko.
Thanks, Kenneth. Before we close, just a quick bouquet, so to speak, about one of our favorite radio stations, KSGN, right down the freeway in Riverside, brings us a huge listener response week after week, and we really appreciate station manager Lee McIntyre and the staff at KSGN and all of you listening in that powerhouse radio market. Hats off to all of you. Next week, topic-wise, we move from these whitewater rapids to the really whitewater rapids. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul basically tells Christians, things are so hard, I don't think you should get married. And that was some 1900 years ago. What would he say today? Here's our title. I hope you don't mean me, Brother Paul. Have a blessed weekend in the Lord. Be sure to worship God in a Bible-believing Christian church. And then turn on your radio again on Monday. Ken and I will be right here waiting for you. Until then, this is Lonnie Malashenko, reminding you that it's always true, friend. God loves you.
It's a surprising story. A crooked manager doctors the books and rips off the boss, and he gets commended for it. Jesus told the story. It's recorded in Luke 16. A wealthy man suspected his manager of wasting his assets, so he called him in and gave him notice he was going to fire him. The manager panicked. What could he do? He wasn't strong enough to dig, and he was too proud to beg. So he called his boss's debtors in and made deals. A man owed for 800 gallons of olive oil. The manager made it 400. Another owed for 1,000 bushels of wheat. The manager made it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager for his cleverness. Then Jesus said, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. What kind of wealth do you have to use? Money, time, good looks, a pleasing personality, academic ability, political connections? How are you using your wealth? Are you merely taking care of yourself, or are you making friends? Are you sharing or hoarding? You can make a difference. Give a smile. Share some dollars. Make a friend. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is Dan Matthews of Lifestyle Magazine.